Let's turn together this morning to Psalm 23. Our text is verse 4. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We meditate this morning upon verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Beloved of God, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Or to use the image in the psalm before us, the sheep cannot stay in the pen and just watch as the shepherd takes other sheep upon the journey. If one is a sheep of the shepherd, he must go upon the trek, the journey that the shepherd takes the sheep upon. Yea, though I walk, not merely watch others walk, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is God's way for his children. This is his way as the shepherd of his sheep, that they go upon this journey through this life and not sit out in the stands and watch. Israelite shepherds could not just keep their sheep holed up in the pen. There wasn't enough grass in the Israelite wilderness to sustain the life of the sheep if they just stayed there in that pen in one spot. The shepherds had to take their sheep upon a long journey through the Israelite valleys and hills. The goal, of course, always was to arrive at the shepherd's house again, but that was the end of the journey. And before that end, there was the journey itself. And if you were a sheep of the shepherd, you were along upon the journey. You had to. You couldn't stay behind and watch the others go. For those sheep, it was the journey itself that the shepherd used to sustain them. It was the journey itself that the shepherd used to teach the sheep, to be bound to the shepherd. And so too, the journey of the Christian life through this world, God's way as shepherd is to take us through, to make us walk on the pathway of the Christian life, on the way to his house. And by the Holy Spirit, this is part of how the shepherd grows the sheep, how he teaches them, how he establishes the bond between himself and those sheep. Especially when the pathway of that journey is through the valley of the shadow of death. Along with the presence of Word and Spirit, we learn more, we grow more, we're bound to the shepherd more in that valley than anywhere else along the path. And for God's people, if you are a sheep and you are, in this past year there have been valleys under the dark shadow that death casts upon it. And in the year that is to come, there will be valleys. For part of His way for us as sheep is always through the valley of the shadow of death. What will the new year bring? What will it bring for you personally? What will it bring for your family, for loved ones around you? What will it bring for us as a congregation? Whatever it is, and as much as you might like to try, you won't be able to sit out on the sidelines and watch as others go through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe it won't be as dark as theirs. Maybe it won't be as long as theirs. There's a mix. But we can't sit it out. And this morning, we've come to confess that we're okay with this, individually, as families, and together. To say that we trust that the shepherd knows what he's doing as he leads us. And besides that, the shepherd is with us through it all. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. So our confession this morning is no fear in the shadowed valley. No fear in the shadowed valley. Let's notice first that confession. Second, the reason for it. And third, the blessing that comes confessing it while we're in that valley. No fear in the shadowed valley. The confession, the reason, and the blessing. When the Israelite shepherd led his sheep, part of the path for those sheep was green pastures and quiet waters. But that was not all of it. It wasn't all of it. Part of the pathway through which the shepherd must lead his sheep was the valley, the deep, dark ravines that were common in the Judean wilderness. In fact, most of the time, the only way to get from one green pasture filled with quiet waters to another green pasture filled with quiet waters was through these valleys, these deep ravines. Now, when you think about this valley the text speaks of, don't think of some nice rolling hills and a really wide green valley in between with a nice stream running through it. This is the Judean wilderness. These are rock valleys, wadis in Judea that are carved into the rock landscape by torrential rains. The water from these torrential rains can't sink into the ground because the ground is stone. It's clay in these wilderness areas. And so the water flows like a flash flood down, across, through, and it cuts ravines into the wilderness landscape, into the sandstone, deep, deep ravines, narrow ravines, high cliffs on both sides. And sometimes those cliffs would be so high that when you walked through, even if it was in the middle of the daytime, the heat of day, those cliffs so high and the ravines so deep and so narrow, cast a shadow, a dark shadow over the path in between so that it was dark in the middle of the day. This pathway was sometimes so narrow that the sheep would have to go through single file. It was hot, a humid, heavy darkness through which the shepherd would have to lead his sheep. One man who recently walked through one of these ravines on a trip to that landscape said that after only halfway through, his 2-liter bottle of water was gone. It was so hot, treacherously hot, humid. And the psalmist uses these ravines, these rock valleys, as a picture of the very difficult and frightening and treacherous and heavy and dark portions of the journey of this life upon which the shepherd leads us, the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death. Death there doesn't or the shadow of death there doesn't refer to the precise moment when you die. Otherwise, it would be the valley of death. But it's not the valley of death, it's the valley of the shadow of death. In the image that's presented to us, the cliff walls are death. The cliff walls are death, and the shadow is the shadow that death casts upon our pathway through this life. And that's what death does. All this life's pathway, in one sense, is a pathway upon which death casts its shadow. As in Adam, all die refers not just to the end of our life and the very moment when death is upon us, but all of life, death casts its shadow over us. Every step of the way from one point of view. But obviously, the text is speaking of certain parts of that pathway in life where that shadow that death casts upon us is especially dark, especially deep and heavy and almost palpable as we walk through it. Times when physical death casts its shadow upon us in that way upon our path, where there are car accidents or accidents at work or at play that changes everything in a moment's notice about our life. Times of sickness, times of disease, where death's dark rays are reaching back upon us in our path and are touching us in a heavy and dark way. The pain of the difficulty of hurts in the body, or the pain of the difficulty of being next to a loved one with such hurts in their body and you want to do something to fix it and you can't, you're helpless as you watch them go through such pain and trouble. It's time spent in the hospital, trips to the hospital, where of course you're thankful for the hospitals and for the doctors and nurses and the medicines, but as you walk through the hallways of those hospitals with the walls on both sides, even though those hallways are so well lit, it feels like you're walking through the dark valley of the shadow of death there.
And that's to say nothing about the years or the months or the days or the hours or the moments before that moment of death itself, where physical death's shadow is cast upon us in such a heavy, dark way, and we feel the life of the body being slowly taken from us, sometimes quickly taken from us. Two people die every second. Therefore, there are many of God's people the world over who right now are walking through that heaviest part of death's shadow, the final days, months, moments of life upon the earth. And we all will walk through that darkest part of death's shadow cast upon us. For God takes us all through the valley of the shadow of death. But not only physical death casts its shadow, spiritual death casts its shadow upon us as we walk upon the path of the Christian life. Of course, just like with physical death, that's true from one point of view. Every step we take, every day we live our life after the fall of Adam, we have spiritual death upon us. The sin in our old man is pervasive and is a perennial part of our lives. But again, of course, the psalmist is thinking of particular times on that pathway where spiritual death too casts its shadow upon us in a unique and heavy way. When the devil attacks for a time and it seems relentless, and his force, it seems, is upon us, and it's hand-to-hand combat, and our way is so narrow or treacherous, we feel we're hemmed in from both sides, and it's so dark, and the only way is up, to cry to God, "Oh God, help me, I'm helpless here." Or maybe there's times in the life of a family when a young person, young adult, is engaged in a pathway of unrepentant sin, stubbornness and rebellion, and for a time it feels like our whole family has this heavy, dark, spiritual shadow that's cast upon it. There's times of doubt and despair. It seems to dominate us, overcome us. Times when it feels like everything else is against us and the path is so narrow for us that there can't even be and there aren't any other sheep around us. It's just single file and I'm walking alone here. Where are my brothers and sisters to my right or to my left? It's just me and I have to walk this part of the path alone through the narrow, dark ravine. These are evils. I will fear no evil. These are evils. Evil still under the sovereign control of God, of course, for the good of His sheep, but in themselves, effects of the fall, evils. And astoundingly, the psalmist confesses that he fears none of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley where death's shadow hangs heavy over it, I will not fear any of those evils. What a confession to make. What an astounding work of God's grace in the psalmist. Because by nature, beloved, if there's any word we would ever use to describe our view of these times in our life and our anticipations of these times in our lives, it's the word fear. By nature, I am afraid of them. I shrink back from them, terrorized by them like a sheep. Sheep are naturally very fearful creatures. And we too, Christian sheep, even the strongest amongst us, are naturally very fearful creatures. There's a reason why the command that is repeated most often in sacred scripture, Old Testament to New Testament, is these two words, fear not. Because even with a new man within us, our old man is fearful, fearful, and makes us to be fearful sheep. And that fear in its deepest sense becomes a terror that paralyzes a person, doesn't it? Overcomes a dread that makes us almost unable to take the next step. I was talking to a man who raised sheep for many years, and he confirmed this about sheep, that when they are afraid, they become paralyzed and they start shaking. They can't move, they can't take a step, and if they do, they turn around and run back. That's you, that's me by nature. We freeze, terrorized by fear. If you keep the picture of sheep on the path in your mind, it makes the sheep stop in his tracks under this dark shadow. I can't take a step forward, can't keep going through the valley. But David says here, it won't be that way. It won't terrorize me. I shall not fear. When the doctor's report comes in and it's the C word, the dreaded C word, when the phone call tells me something's happened to my child, God, may it not be. When something in the church is difficult and how's this going to work out in the future, I will not fear these evils. And the psalmist's point, beloved, is not, of course, that he's somehow found a way to remove his old man from within him so that it's not something he ever has to battle or nothing that has a presence in his life. But fear won't dominate me. It won't overcome me and terrorize me and paralyze me. The psalmist isn't confessing either by saying, I shall not fear. That the valley of the shadow of death won't be a terrible thing. He's not making light of the valley of the shadow of death as though he's an ignorant and naive young man who's just spouting out about things that he doesn't know. Yeah, right, you won't fear. He understands the path. He's been through it. The psalmist is not either confessing, "I shall not fear," and out of pride. Just with a stiff upper lip. "It won't touch me. You people, it might, but not me. I'm stronger than all of you." The psalmist isn't confessing this either as a stoic. Unbelievers sometimes can go through terrible circumstances of life with a certain stoicism, and that's how they get through. Or in their mind, they just sort of shut themselves off to it. "I'll act like it's not there, live in denial about it, and in that way keep it far from me the best that I can." The psalmist isn't confessing, "I shall not fear," that way either. He's not confessing, "I shall not fear," either with a militant rebellion against God and His sovereignty over his life. "I'm going to beat whatever darkness God sends upon me. Who is God to lay this upon me? I'm going to beat this cancer no matter what God says to me." And of course, beloved, of course, you seek to beat the cancer. Of course, you seek to be healed and you look for medicines to heal, and you must in obedience to the Word of God too. But there's a line, isn't there? There's a line, isn't there, where it becomes a rebellious heart, militant against God. "I'm going to deny Him His right to give this to me and overcome Him by my own power and will that won't humbly bow to walk the path that God decides to lay upon us. Even if by those efforts I do get better, or if by those efforts I don't," and he says, "I won't." But the psalmist is confessing this as a child of God who's walking through fully, consciously, knowing and experiencing what he is walking through, and yet he can say, "I will go through this, and it will not dominate me, fear. So overcome that I can't worship my God anymore, that I'm unable to confess His name, that I'm derailed into bitterness to God and His way with me in my life. Hard as it is, shell-shocked though I'll be for a time to be sure, walking more slowly for a while, maybe even sit for a few moments, paralyzed for a bit, I'm still going to keep going and walk. Fear won't control me. I shall not fear." How can the psalmist confess this? How can he say it? And how can we make this our confession this morning? As we look ahead to 2019 and wonder what kinds of dark valleys will be there. He's looking to the future. "I shall not fear." Here's how: "For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not fear, for I know Thou art with me upon this path and in this valley." If that wasn't the case, yes, I'd live in total fear. I'd be destroyed. Without the shepherd, the sheep would turn around if they could even move and run back. Without the shepherd, the sheep would be destroyed by their own selves or by another. But with the shepherd's presence in the valley, walking upon the path with them, even in the frightening darkness, they need no fear. With the promise of the shepherd in Isaiah 43, verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." In the image of the psalm and of this text, the shepherd, beloved, taking his sheep, is not way back there or way over there and calling out to the sheep, Now, you see that dark ravine? You go through there. Go ahead. I'll be over here, or I'll meet you on the other side." But he walks through with his sheep with them as their shepherd, so that the sheep are in constant contact, constant fellowship and communion with the shepherd as he walks through the darkness with them, his presence known, his presence experienced, his ear attentive to their cry, the shepherd is with me. And when he's with me upon this pathway, he's not with me like this, in a cold way that he will not communicate with me and hear my cries and difficulties, but himself with me as his shepherd, if you don't believe that. Then just look at the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, and his life and death. Where God the shepherd came down into it, into the dark valley, to walk it with his people. God himself robed in human flesh, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, acquainted with death and all of its dark shadows. He has walked through the valley. And when we cry to him, he says, I know, I understand my sheep, I was there. I wept with those who wept at Lazarus' death. I know the pains and difficulties of living under the shadow of that enemy. I understand. I am a high priest who has been touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And not only that, my sheep, but remember this too. Do you see that path as we're walking through? And those footprints, and the red, the blood-stained path going that way into an even darker shadow. That's the path that I took. An infinitely more difficult path than yours. Death reserved its deepest darknesses for me and my life. I entered into every pain and trouble of physical death and its shadows that got hold upon me. I went into the source of those shadows, death itself. In my body and in my soul, took it upon me. I took upon myself all your spiritual death to my sheep, bearing the guilt and the power of your sin upon my head, the curse upon Adam, your curse in Adam, and for your individual sins.
And as by my Spirit I walk with you in the valley by the Word, you cry out to me there. I'm there with you. And I say, I understand. And I walk this path. And I say this too, that I walk that path much darker so that you would never have to. So that your valley would be a valley only in the shadow lands. Faint shadow of what death could once have given you. And I am in sovereign control of this pathway you are on, and every darkness that is upon it, fainter or darker, and it cannot and it will not destroy you. That's the fellowship we have with him upon the pathway. Where he assures us that where this pathway would once be the foreboding darkness of hell, it is not now, but is the path that takes us assuredly to the house of the shepherd himself forever. And where he tells us, and don't forget this either, that when I'm on that pathway with you, I'm there with my staff and with my rod. With that staff and with that rod, I will ensure that you get there to my Father's house. And though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd who's with us on the path carries a staff and a rod, a staff to guide and a rod to protect. The shepherd's staff was a long stick about this high with a crook on the end of it that the shepherd would use to nudge and to corral the sheep back upon the pathway.
Keep them, lest they dash their foot against a stone, lest they enter into a crevice, break their leg, and be undone. Lest the sheep walk straight into a lair of a lion or a bear upon that pathway and straight into those jaws to be destroyed. David killed a lion and a bear, leading his sheep upon ravines like this. Not only was there the path itself that was dangerous and dark, but there was the animals, the predators that would use the rocks, the caves and the darkness to hide and to pounce, and the shepherd would use his staff to guide the sheep, to keep them going the right way, lest they entered into the jaws of the lion himself unto their destruction. The shepherd knows the path to take. He knows how to guide the sheep. The shepherd is wise. He knows they must go this way and not that way. The sheep can trust the shepherd that he knows the end from the beginning, and he has determined every step that must be taken to get to that end in his house. And he with me, I know that my path upon this dark valley is a path through this dark valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not around in circles in it forever and ever, but through it. He doesn't leave me in this valley. This is not an end in itself. Through it, this is part of the path unto his house forever. And I trust that he knows the way and will corral me when I wander. His staff is his word and spirit then, isn't it? His presence in my life by word and spirit to guide me. It's not just some feeling that I have, that I feel that this is the right way or I feel that that is the right way, but his word and spirit to lead and to guide, to corral, to nudge. This step, this is the next step, not that. Don't keep going there. Under the preaching of his word especially, but in every way his word is in our life. The shepherd is upon the path leading, guiding me by his staff. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path. And that same word and spirit is his rod to protect me as the shepherd is right there with his sheep upon that path. The shepherd's rod was a short, stubby stick, maybe about this big, similar to the old billy club that policemen used to carry around. It was something used for protection. When lions or bears or other predators would jump out of their lair into the path itself and would attack the sheep, the shepherd would use that rod to beat the lion or the other threat to preserve the sheep who were in danger. The shepherd who is with his sheep upon that pathway, not way over there, but there, upon the pathway with me, carries this rod. The word of God preached, the faithful discipline of the church. Attacks, beats away predators. It beats back the animal of false doctrine that would attack me and my family. It beats back the predator of dark despair that would pounce upon me and dominate me and overcome me utterly. Then said I unto you, fear not, neither be afraid of them. For the Lord your God who goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness. The Lord fights for his sheep as though personally, directly, hand to hand. For he is there, intimately involved with them upon the path by his word and spirit. This is why the psalmist can say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. My shepherd is with me. He has ensured that the path is not the path to hell, but the path to the house of my Father. He has walked it before, and he is with me as my shepherd, knows and understands and carries staff and rod and knows how to use them. It comforts me. It's security for me. Safety for me.
and I can trust that the same shepherd who has been this and done this for the saints of the past many times over and over will do it for me. And that the shepherd who has been upon the path in the dark valley with me in the past in my life will be with me in it in 2019 and beyond. Look at the name that David uses by inspiration to describe his shepherd in the psalm, beloved, the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah, the covenant name of God, the I am that I am, that tells of his faithfulness, of sure and steadfast promises. It won't be the case that though God was with his people upon the path in the past, he will not be any longer in the future. It won't be that after half of the sheep come through into the other side, that he says, well, that's enough, that's enough. The rest can fend for themselves through that dark valley. It wasn't until every last one of the 2 million Israelite men, women, children, young and old, strong and weak, were through the Red Sea, that Moses lifted up his staff and the waves came crashing down upon Pharaoh. All will come through, for he is Jehovah. He will ensure it. The changeless one, so that the sons of Jacob are not consumed. He has said, I will be with thee and will not forsake thee. He has chosen his sheep, every last one in eternity. And he has determined that every last one of those sheep will end in his own house forever, in the fullness of his own triune life, in the bond of perfection with him. And he will therefore take them personally by his providence in word and spirit through the valley to that heavenly home. None to lose. And having been through a few valleys with the shepherd before, the Christian sheep are more and more convinced of it. Isn't that also part of how David could confess this? I shall not fear. It wasn't his first time through a dark valley with the shepherd. The Israelite shepherds had to take their sheep upon this journey through the Israelite hills and valleys every year, year after year after year. And every year, God takes his sheep through this journey and through these valleys too. And after having been through a few of them, beloved, with him, you know, he really is this. He really is the shepherd of his sheep. He really is Jehovah who never forsakes, never leaves, and is faithful to his promises. His covenant stands and will never fail, for it's rooted in him and in his work. And more the sheep trust, and more when they look ahead to a new year and to a new set of years before them, they trust and less fear gets hold upon them. Ask the older saint, child of God, the seasoned saint who's been through many a dark valley before. They will tell you, he is what he says he is here. He is the faithful shepherd. He will walk through. He is Jehovah. He does not forsake his children. We don't need to be afraid. And those older saints might even tell you when you ask them that, that though you never pray for it to come upon your own life, and you never wish it for your fellow sheep around you, there are
such great blessings. Going through the valley with your shepherd. Because there are at least three blessings to walking through the valley with the shepherd here in the psalm. First, the intimacy with the shepherd in the valley, which intimacy cannot be forged anywhere else. Did you happen to notice the change in address in the psalm from the first three verses to our text in verse 4? In verses 1 through 3, the psalmist is speaking to his fellow sheep. He's directing his words to them. My fellow sheep, Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. But now, all of a sudden, when he gets to verse 4, and he starts to talk about the shadowed valley and the pathway there, there is a switch. And he begins to speak directly to God himself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and now forget about this for a minute, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As though the psalmist can't help it. He can't help it, and he can't help it, because that's what happens in the valley. And a child of God can't help it either. It happens. That we're so aware of our shepherd there with us, our eyes fixed upon him in that narrow, dark way. He is right next to me. He is with me. And I need him to be so. And I'm so aware of how much I need that. My eyes fixed upon him, and I speak to him like I've never spoken to him before, and more than I've spoken to him before. That's what happens in the valley. There was a Reformed minister from over a century ago who had a terribly dreadful wife. She wouldn't honor her husband, berated him often. Even mocked his preaching. And she'd do this sometimes in front of other people too. And when he'd gather with other ministers and their families, sometimes she would do it and the other ministers would whisper to each other about it. And he, of course, would notice. As he would say to his fellow ministers, you know that because of who my wife is, I get on my knees and I pray 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day for strength from God just to get through the next hour, the next day. My wife, terrible as she is a gift of God to me. For I walk with him so intimately, day by day. That's what happens in the valley. And if ever I was trying to just sit in the pen before and just watch the others from the sidelines, I can't now. Now I'm in the thick of it, and religion becomes personal, close, intimate in the valley. That's a blessing. The second blessing, beloved, is that we see that the path through the dark valley of the shadow of death is part of how he leads me on the paths of righteousness. You can't totally separate verse 4 that is our text from verse 3. He leadeth me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is part of what it means to be on the path of righteousness. for the goal of the shepherd is not just to take us to his house, but it's to grow us along the way to his house. And God's people grow not only in intimacy with their God, but in holiness of life in the valley too. They're led by him to follow the shepherd closely, every step, step by step. They're aware of the dangers of not following him. And by virtue of knowing his presence and walking with him, they walk with him in holiness of life. That's a blessing. Third, the blessing of this path is in the last phrase of verse 3, connected again to verse 4. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley. As I walk this path, though it's dark and troubled, yet with him, free of paralyzing fear, because I'm with him so close to me, aware of his guidance and protection, aware of how he's growing me in holiness and humility and in maturity. In love for him, I seek his glory more than I did before, and I seek his glory even more than my own ease. For thy name's sake, if it magnifies thee as shepherd of the sheep, if it's a revelation of thy glory somehow in my way, if it shows thy faithfulness to thy people and leading them through faithfulness that stands for every generation, if it makes me more a testament to thy holy work, then I will walk through with thee, shepherd. And another one in 2019, perhaps. And another one, if that's thy will, for the glory of the Lord, my shepherd, who's with me and takes me home. Amen. Father in heaven, bless us in this coming year, whatever thou dost have laid out for us. Thou knowest we don't. And whatever valleys there are, Father, be they dark or not so dark, long or short, give us trust, confidence in thee, our shepherd and his faithfulness, and to walk with thee, and to bless thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.